When the shift boss hits that button, then you'd better look alive, 'cause the lumber comes a-rolling like the bees out of a hive. And you'll feel that sweat come pouring as each muscle screams with pain, and you'll wonder if it's worth it working on the long green chain.
Hi, I'm Mark Laren Young, and welcome back to the Green Chain Podcast. When I heard the Western Canada Wilderness Committee was shutting down their Victoria storefront headquarters and their most prominent rising star, Ken Wu, was founding a new group to save our trees, I smelled a story. I wondered if, just maybe, somebody at head office wasn't loving the fact that Wu and the Victoria Wing have been hogging the headlines with their high-profile protests to save Vancouver Island's trees. When I met Wu in Vancouver the day of his new group's founding meeting, he wanted to keep the focus on the future and the Ancient Forest Alliance. But there was one question I had to start with.
What the heck happened?
What's happened essentially is that, I had gone off to Copenhagen in December to essentially really for a European vacation for a bit, but I thought I'd check out the big climate summit and, maybe do a couple of press conferences, meet some activists, make a bit of noise about forests and climate. And when I had gone, I was informed by some of my staff that a couple of Vancouver executives of the organization had essentially said they were going to eliminate the three forest campaigner positions, the campaign director, the forest and marine campaigner, and the campaign assistant. They would close the store, close the canvas at the time. Now, that was reversed a bit later because it brings in so much funding, and close the website and take over the email list. And that concerned me. I couldn't do anything about it while I was in Copenhagen because we've built a movement involving tens of thousands of people now on Vancouver Island, very heavily focused on ensuring the protection of old-growth forests and a ban on raw log exports. And so to have most of the capacity removed was a bad idea and is a bad idea. Now, as this whole thing has played out in the media for the last week or so, because I've essentially announced that that was their plan and that I've launched a new organization, the Ancient Forest Alliance, rather than fighting within the organization, I'd rather build an alternative. It looks like the Vancouver office is making a couple adjustments in that they, I don't know if it's PR or real at this point in time, but they say they will continue with the old growth campaigns in Victoria. But the point is, in terms of the staffing situation, it's greatly reduced. So We need an alternative that will put a lot of time, effort, resources, and we've got the personal relationships with thousands of people to continue this campaign and to also, this time, not be constrained by the handcuffs of charitable status. The original goal was to actually have my the Forest and Marine campaigner, Tara Sawatsky, take my place, and then I could meander the world eating yummy food and looking at tropical ecosystems and visiting different cultures. And then I would step back into the campaigns in another capacity later on, but not necessarily through the Wilderness Committee. But it was a possibility. But I was not expecting this to happen, that essentially there would be a wholesale dismantling of the Victoria Wilderness Committee office. And the fact is, whatever their motivations are, the point is that if you look at all the indicators of success of an environmental organization in terms of grassroots support, in terms of membership, fundraising, media coverage, influence in the community, the Victoria Wilderness Committee office really excelled. And that's just the simple fact. And their decision ultimately removes the most powerful part of the Wilderness Committee, the Victoria office, and centralizes the control and power in the hands of a few of the Vancouver executives. So I don't think it was a good decision, but it is their prerogative to make that. And the point is to move on at this point. And I don't want to deal with this anymore. I just want to build an organization. And as I set up the foundation for the new organization, the Ancient Forest Alliance, that we have some funding, we can get some staff, that'll be my chance to, for the first, now I'm 36 years old, I can finally actually, travel the world. And that won't be for a while yet.
Now, one of the things I found fascinating was you saying the handcuffs of a society. And the Societies Act. Can you talk about why not being a society? What not being a society frees you to do?
Well, it's not a society. It's a charitable organization.
Okay.
So the Ancient Forest Alliance will be a nonprofit organization, a nonprofit society, but it won't be a charity. And the charity essentially allows you to issue tax receipts so people can get tax write-offs if they make a donation. We can't do that. That means generally we're going to have a lot less funding because many times people do want to have, you know, be able to write off their donations. But the problem with having charitable status, and the Wilderness Committee keeps on running into this sort of thing, and so do most other environmental groups, with the exception of Greenpeace and the Friends of Clackwood Sound, is that you can't hit as hard as you really should when it comes to criticism of politicians with backwards policies or endorsing politicians with very forward policies, because you're not allowed to tell people what political stance to take or to directly condemn politicians or condone politicians because of their stances around these issues. For example, there's BC government policies are fundamentally driven, especially as you get closer to the elections, by the influence of the electorate in the swing ridings, in ridings that are very close between the BC Liberals and the NDP. That's where they really care. They don't give a shit about Victoria Beacon Hill or Victoria Hillside that they know is going to go NDP. They do care about losing the Oak Bay riding or North Saanich Gulf Islands riding. Those are very tight ridings, and under the Wilderness Committee, I could not say, well, the BC Liberal in the Oak Bay riding or the BC Liberal in the North Saanich Gulf Islands riding, they have a very backward stance that old-growth forests are not endangered on Vancouver Island and that raw log exports should be allowed to continue. Don't vote for them if you care about old-growth forests and BC forestry jobs. I could not say that. I can say that now. And that means that it'll have a much more significant impact in terms of forcing government policy to change.
But you said some organizations aren't handcuffed by this. How did they get around it? How does, say, Greenpeace get around it?
Well, basically what happens is they get a lot more smaller donations. So the Wilderness Committee people will write checks for $5,000, $10,000 sometimes. Greenpeace will typically get $30, $50, $30, $50, $100, $30, $20.
So that's what you've got to survive on now.
Yeah, it's going to be a slog, that's for sure. But you know what? We've got enough grassroots support, I know, that we'll be able to raise some funds. But it won't be, you know, a $2 million operation like the Wilderness Committee for a while.
Well, are you going to try and go beyond, single party? Like, are you going to endorse a political party, or are you going to go candidate by candidate?
You know what? It can happen on, we'll see as it gets closer to the election. Still a ways away from the provincial election. This is a fundamental provincial, driven by provincial politics. But it could be politician by politician if some of the BC Liberals will break rank with their party. But they tend to stick together as a giant team. And as a result of that, it could be a condemnation of the entire BC Liberal Party. Or a big thank you to Gordon Campbell and Pat Bell. I will say, I won't kiss them, but I will say thank you if they actually, come up with the provincial old growth policy that will phase out old growth logging where it's scarce.
Well, it's just, I look and I go, the NDP was not stellar on the environmental movement during the last election.
Well, was crazy is the insanity of the anti-carbon tax campaign. To me, that pissed me off. So in other words, I'm not going to say vote for this party in general or not vote. I'm just on the issue of old growth logging and on the issue of raw log exports, I'll talk about that through the Ancient Forest Alliance. But in terms of an overall assessment, our organization won't do that.
Well, when you're talking about swing ridings, to me, the anti-carbon tax was the NDP going, we've got Victoria locked up. Let's see if we can score Prince George.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought there was something.
And you know how dumb that was? Because they lost Oak Bay and North Saanich, Gulf Islands. Those are highly environmental ridings, and they screwed it all up with this anti-carbon tax idiotic stance. So I'm not necessarily endorsing the overall policies or condemning the overall policies at this point about any parties, although I am, a Green Party supporter. People should know that.
Yes.
I'm going to be working for Elizabeth May here federally. But on the provincial scene, we'll focus on what the organization's mandate is on, and that's, old growth forests and forestry jobs.
Okay, that's interesting. It's just because it was really surprising to have the NDP, who people reflexively go, oh, they're more environmental than liberals, come out and run against the carbon tax and take that as their main policy.
The number one. That was nuts. Was totally nuts.
The fact that was the top of the environmental list was axe the tax. Really? really, you were running on a bumper sticker?
Yeah, and this is the most serious issue facing the planet, which is climate change, which trumps all other environmental issues. It will kill our old-growth forests, and it will kill the majority of a lot of the species anyways on the west coast here, even if we establish protected areas. So that was a very stupid thing on their part. And again, it's that drive for power in the absence of a greater good that causes people to do bad things. And that's true not just with the NDP. Certainly it's true with the BC Liberals. It has happened with other nonprofits that, you know, that I've been involved with. And the trick is, let's aim for what's best in the bigger picture. And so, you know, truth and honesty and caring, those are the things that matter.
Now, I thought it was fascinating that even though you decided to take time off and see the world and see other ecosystems, you were still going to come back to help Elizabeth May in her riding. Can you talk about why?
Oh, well, I was actually going to hopefully stick around. I thought there'd be a federal election around March. It was in April, so I'd be able to start traveling. But it looks like I'll be here for a bit longer than that. And I got to get the Ancient Forest Alliance, the foundation of it, established. But I do believe in helping Elizabeth May for the simple reason that I've had enough experience in North American politics, watching it and being involved in this corner of the world, British Columbia and in Canada, and also spending time in Europe. And seeing that North America is really the bastion of backwards politics among the rich industrialized nations, certainly in comparison to Europe. And what has revolutionized Europe is the proportional voting systems that has allowed for green members of parliament and coalition governments with greens in power. And so if we can get one green, especially somebody of Elizabeth May's caliber, her intellectual abilities, her compassion, her caring about bigger things, her incredible abilities and skills, and her progressive values, for the first time elected on a national level in North America, that will be the first chink in the armor of the giant backwards amalgamation of jurisdictions called North America. And we need to, you know, this, just one more NDP or one more liberal, and certainly one more conservative, is going to do shit compared to one green, especially Elizabeth May, for infusing North American politics with a set of new dynamic ideas and, you know, making democracy a lot healthier.
That's interesting, because my biggest issue with Elizabeth May as a politician is how she handled the riding that she's now running in.
Oh,
and I was deeply, deeply unimpressed with the Greens for the way they tried to take out Briony Penn.
I like Briony, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is I'm going, really, yeah. You've got the greenest politician, probably the Liberals had ever run, and there was a level of backbiting and nastiness to that I thought was very much the politics as usual that the Green Party traditionally stands up and condemns. Says, we're not politics as usual, we're not politics as usual. To me, trying to take out Briony Penn was politics as usual.
Yeah. Oh, you mean like this? Briony Penn's not running this election, right?
No, I'm talking about the last election.
Oh, the previous election.
The previous election.
Yeah, you know what? No, I would agree that at that time, it might have been a good idea. Like, I like Briony, by the way. She's been with me on the old growth campaigns for a long, long time. But in this time around, though, I would say that, I mean, Briony's not running, and Elizabeth is she's a national leader of the Green Party. This is the chance to make a huge difference. So I'm not always impressed with, and this is the thing about me, is why I might come into conflict within organizations over time, is I don't stick by the party line, and I don't get involved in the groupthink. Someone gives me the gun and the silencer because the party hierarchy told me to assassinate the bastard. I'm not going to do it. Like, well, I don't know. You know? So, but my assessment for this time around, whatever happened previously with Briony, and I do like Briony, and I've supported Briony for you know, a lot of things, this time around, Elizabeth is going to be far, far more important than any Liberal or NDP, and certainly Gary Lunn, in making this a better place. We've got to get one green elected for the first time. Otherwise, North America is fucked. I mean, really. And North America is the powerhouse of world politics still. It might be superseded by China eventually, but right now, it was North America that really undermined progress around global climate change among the rich nations. And, you know, we can't let that happen again.
What was it like being a Canadian in Copenhagen?
Well, the funny thing is that, people were very aware, because of the Fossil Fuel Awards being given out to Canada among the environmentalists, that Canada was the most backwards among the industrial Western nations. And But at the same time, you know, people, you know, made a distinction between Canadian activists and the Canadian government. I am not Stephen Harper, so I've never had problems with being Canadian per se there. But it was the biggest congregation of environmentalists in world history, and it was the biggest environmental protest in world history. 100,000 people at this climate change rally. If you don't, you know, include anti-war protests or the protests against globalization and trade agreements, there's been no bigger environmental protest than that one that just happened in Copenhagen. It's unbelievable. So, but the problem is the agreement itself was very weak. It can still be strengthened over time. There's still a chance with the G8 and the G20 happening in Toronto in June, and then the especially COP16, which is the next climate change conference in Mexico in November.
Now, were you in the protest?
Yeah, I was in the protest. It started off in the morning, actually, from the Climate Forum, which is the People's Climate Summit, which there was the United Nations conference going on, the official COP15, and then there was the Climate Forum, which is the kind of nonprofits and all the activists. And so the first protest really started by Friends of the Earth there in the morning. That was on the Saturday. I can't remember the exact date. And then eventually moved to the Danish Parliament buildings, and then marched all the way down to the Bella Center, where the UN was holding their conference. And it just got bigger and bigger. I mean, it was impressive. And really diverse people, because these are activists and delegates from all around the world taking part. So you'd have everything from all the hippies from Christiana, which is sort of the hippie anarchist part of Copenhagen, to, you know, all the folks from you know, North American activists everywhere. You had Japanese delegates with polar bear hats and business suits, and you had, you know, kids and adults and whole bike contingent. It's a major bike culture there. It was very interesting to see.
And what do people need to know about the ancient forest lands?
They need to know that we're going to take the grassroots mobilization to an unprecedented scale. I'm confident we can do that because we've got the existing mobilization. And we do have some new tools, namely Facebook right now. we are going to hit harder and give greater rewards as well to the politicians based on their stances around old-growth forests and raw log exports. This is the most grassroots you can get. Right now we've got $220. and we'll do more with people's funding than guaranteed than virtually any environmental group in this country right now.
Who are your original members? Did you just block out with the entire office of WC Squared Victoria?
Well, the people who are helping me found it right now include TJ Watt, who was the photographer and sort of the explorer, who we had worked with a lot at the Wilderness Committee. Tara Sawatsky, who was the forest and marine campaigner with me. And Michelle Connolly, who's a longtime old-growth activist in the Lower Mainland here. And there's a whole smattering of a huge number of different volunteers and people who've been involved over time.
Now, do you still have access to that list that got you the amazing protest? You know, you had the biggest protest since the Clackwit. Do you still have your mailing lists and your...
Well, we don't have the email list per se. That's not ours, but we do have Facebook, and we have the ability to build these things very quickly because of Facebook and because of online petitions. So that, and plus I've got thousands of my email friends over the years from my Gmail account.
Okay, so basically if somebody was on the email list for WC Squared, they need to contact you again, right?
Yes.
They need to sign up and join on Facebook.
Yes.
They need to email your organization to get back in contact with you. And
yeah, and I know they will be in touch again because, this is fundamentally about the issues. I don't want to waste time in fighting within organizations. This is a monumental waste. But we'll move ahead and do good things. It's mainly about, it's about doing good things. So they should get in touch.
Cool. Anything else I should know?
They should check the website, ancientforestalliance.org.
For more on Canada, be sure to check out the podcast archives and my new book, The Green Chain, Nothing's Ever Clear Cut, available in every bookstore that matters. For the Tai'i, I'm Mark Laren-Young.